is closing down. Gonna carry this dream to the other side of town. So walk that line, town and pearl. Gotta spend your whole life trying. So run that
Desolation Angel Radio, first week of January. Short one this week, quick one. I'm getting letters right now from all the missions and shelters and agencies that the Nomad Project helped. The hospitals, those wings, things that you all did to make people's lives better and to bring a little bit of hope and a little bit of light back into the world and restore some of my faith in humanity. I'll be the first person to tell you I've been a pretty angry person the last couple of years. I've not been sometimes the most pleasant human being to be around, and I'm a person of great extremes, so that can get kind of dicey. But thankfully, due to all of you believing in me and having a little bit of faith in what that project was trying to do, you brought hope and light to people's lives, and you brought some hope and light back to mine, and allow me to trust a little more and to show more of who I am. I'll be the first person to admit that there's a whole bunch of people that have come into my life in the last 4 or 5 years, and you haven't seen all of me. You haven't seen this me. Or maybe you have, and it was all of you who had to work this hard to convince me to bring it out into the open. Because I don't trust easy. And for a long time, there's only been maybe 7 or 8 people that really knew who the hell I was and what I was capable of. And as a result, I shortchanged myself, and I apologize because I shortchanged a lot of you. In some cases, I only showed you my shadow. I only showed you exactly what I wanted left behind. In some cases, that shadow left impressions that I'm sure shocked people or made them angry or made them hurt. And the way I was raised, the word sorry don't mean too much. You can talk it all you want. You just got to be different and do different. And that's all I can do from here forward. Is be different and do different and be myself. Be the person who put this project together. And now it looks like it's going to become a permanent project. We're applying for 501c3 status. And there's ways that you can continue to help, because it's easy to do during the holidays. It's easy to do, you know, in that period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when people are really in the mood for it. The trick's going to be doing it in March and April and May, June, July, August, September, October, because the needs don't end. Raw data, raw figures, real data. 1 in 6 people in America face hunger. 1 in 6 people. So if you and your group of friends, you know, take any 6 of your friends and you're not facing hunger today or tonight, going to bed hungry, you're pretty lucky. Because 1 in 6 people face hunger, face food insecurity. Households with children, 20%, a full 20% of households with children face food insecurity. 1 in 5 people. It's just, to me, unconscionable that in the wealthiest nation on earth, that in a nation as extraordinarily successful as we are, that suddenly we have a bunch of people that don't know if they're going to eat or not. A full 1/3 of American households live near the poverty line or below. They don't have the luxury of worrying about buying a second cell phone, or, you know, do they want that digital high-def TV, or should they get trade in and get a new car, you know, or should they buy that new couch? Because they're worried about just keeping the lights on and keeping the heat going. It's the middle of winter, and over 200,000 people will be hospitalized due to exposure to the cold, and I can't believe that. Right now on the streets of America, there are over 4 million youth who are homeless between the ages of 13 and 25. Overwhelmingly people of color, overwhelmingly LGBT youth. 4 million. Think about that figure. And there's things we can do about all of it. I was reading an article where Zuckerberg claims that the average Facebook or social media user spends 50 minutes a day on Instagram and Facebook. That's you and I. That's us. Now, I will freely admit that I've curtailed my usage quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I timed it even at the height of the project, when I was using social media to keep people informed. I was at 17 minutes a week, but I truly believe his figure of 50 minutes a day. That works out to almost 7 hours a week. That's an incredible figure. That works out to almost two full waking hour days a month. Which works out to almost a full month by the end of the year spent on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. I don't even know about Twitter. What can we do with that time? Well, here's what we can do with that time. Think about that 50 minutes a day that we all average. And instead of being on there, taking an hour a week to go help sort at a mission or a shelter, go help serve food, go take a volunteer shift, go explore your local food pantry, one of your local shelters. Here in Buffalo, there's Friends of the Night People, Haven House, Compass House, the Buffalo City Mission, St. Luke's Mission of Mercy. That's just to name a few where there's a screaming need for help and volunteers. Food Gnomes here, where you pick up food on, use your own gas, your own time on a Sunday. The guy has the food, he has a list of names, and you take off and deliver food because people need it. We're the ones who can make that difference. I'm tremendously happy about the new House of Representatives being sworn in. It's much more representative of the demographic that America is becoming. The incredible number of women, people of color, Muslim Americans, Palestinian Americans, Native Americans. I love them, and it's becoming that. It is becoming representative of who we are, which I think is really important. It is about always, in the end, though, the fact that we are all we got. We are all we have. And that's enough. Because if we all took that time throughout the year, and you notice I said maybe even just an hour a week, we can make people's lives better. It's about the great human chain. That's what a civilized society does. It's what human beings do for one another. And it's why I did it. For me, it's very selfish. It's because, like I said, I spent the last couple of years pretty angry. And I'm at my best when I'm helping other people, when I'm focused on other people. And there are people whose problems are real. You know, my problems are first world problems and luxury problems. Most of the people I know, the problems are first world problems and luxury problems. And spending time with that population, spending time there, in those shelters, in those missions, with the staff who work there who are all angels, with the people who use those services, you get some real perspective. I realize that there are people, like, and I said it last show, there are people who have only known me in the last 4 or 5 years, and they're not aware of a lot of things over the last 2 or 3 decades, things that I had gotten away from. And I talked openly about being an alcoholic and an addict, about being a rape survivor and an abuse survivor and an assault survivor. And one of two things can happen. One of three things, really. You can either never deal with all of it and become a victim and let it affect your whole life, or you can never deal with it and actually wind up being a predator yourself, or you can become something else. Because yes, I am a person who really is very serious about helping people and trying to be the best me I can be and the nicest person I can be. And like I said, I haven't been, and I realized something, actually, believe it or not, out of a Tumblr post, when I realized that this was talking about me. a Tumblr user named Kitten Whiskers wrote the most brilliant, beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was case number 273402, status disastrous. I stare at the file and realize I have no options. Over the last 2 years, every monster assigned to Charlotte Dower has quit. Every last one. Her first monster, a giant goldfish-faced humanoid named Bubba, had been with her for 4 years, and then she wasn't scared of him anymore. After that, it was a string of different common, uncommon, and rare monsters. I even assigned a sentient sock monster to her. He came back crying. I look on my tablet, only one assignable monster left, myself. Fieldwork has never been my cup of tea, but desperate times call for desperate measures. So at 8:03 p.m., after Mrs. Gideon tucks in Charlotte and her little brother Daniel, I slither into the space beneath Charlotte's bed. Across the room, underneath Daniel's crib, is a rookie, Chico, a standard creep kind of monster. I turn my attention to the bed above me. Charlotte is still awake, but barely. I reach up over the bed and run an ice-cold finger over her cheek. Silence, so I do it again. "I'm not afraid of you, monster," she whispers, but her voice is shaking. I can see a small clock on the wall, 8:14. A door somewhere in the house slams, and there is an audible hitch of breath from above me. A few minutes go by, I can hear Francis Gideon yelling at his wife. There are heavy footsteps on the stairs and loud panting breaths. Charlotte scrambles off the bed, and she crawls under the bed with me. "Move over," Charlotte hisses at me. I do. The door to the bedroom slams open, and I smell the stench of human intoxicants before the man even steps inside. I know why Charlotte isn't afraid of any of my monsters. She's afraid of her own. Francis reaches a hand under the bed, and I thrust my wrist into it. He starts to pull. I slither out. "What the?" I cut Francis's next words off by unfolding to my full 12-foot height. Looming over the drunken man, I caress my cold fingers down his face. "If you ever touch, scare, or harm my child again, I will find you, and I will do the same to you for all eternity," I promise to him. As Francis runs from the room, he soils himself. I pull Charlotte from under the bed, tuck her back under her covers, and kiss her forehead goodnight. "I'll be back tomorrow night. Sleep well, darling. Charlotte Dower is my child. I am the monster under her bed." So why do I do what I do? Why do I act the way I act? Why the Nomad Project? Why be this insane burning comet across the sun? Why be this outrageous, out loud person? Because I've been that child. I know exactly what it's like to have that happen and be all alone and afraid. I know exactly what that's like. True story. Why do I do this at Christmas? Because I don't have any family left. I'm good at driving everybody off. But the other part of it is because as I was growing up, my father would come home on Christmas Eve, drunk. And he would throw every present out into the lawn and throw the tree out into the lawn and scream, "Christmas is canceled." There were a lot of other things that went with that through the years. I know what it's like to be raped at 12 years old and alone and afraid and have no one there. I know what it's like to be alone and afraid and scared and hurt and crying. And I know what it's like to have to survive that and heal that alone. And I know what it's like to have people reach out and be kind and helpful and to just care. So that's why the Nomad Project. And that's why, for those of you who've known two sides of me and known that other side, known that monster under the bed, sometimes I don't focus that so well. Sometimes I don't focus it in the right place. It's all right. Those are my lessons, and that's what I have to learn. What I know is that you all brought faith back, brought hope back, brought light back, into not just other people's lives, but the personal thank you that I have for all of you is that you brought that back into my life and helped me see some other things in perspective over the last couple of years and realize what kind of transformation I had to make when I talk about having to sit with the magic of what occurred. I joked last week and said, I'm not the hero anybody wants. Well, I know I'm not America's sweetheart, but I'm who you've got. And the reason I was able to reach out on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and help all those people was because not just those of you who brought things to give away, but those of you who held mirrors up to me over the last couple of years, those of you who loved me in spite of myself, those of you who saw through the big black-wearing badass front that I put on and saw the person underneath. You allowed me to do that. I thank you, each and every one of you, for all of that. You made that happen for all those people. But they weren't the only ones who brought about a transformation in me. That was you all.
Whiskey wants a joke, and the Marlboro wants to smoke. Tears need some salt to get by. The thorn looks for a crown, and the beggar for a town. And the woman is never satisfied. Everyone's looking for something to hold. Some kind of savior they need to be told to hold.
hold on, to hold on. Baby needs a mother, but the mother wants a lover. And this house can't find home anywhere. The ship is scared to sink, the thirst is scared to drink. And I can't find God way down here. Everyone's looking for something to hold, some kind of saving. They need to be told, to hold on, to hold on. You can run and you can hide. All dried out, the crows are all cried out, the hen hangs her head in the yard. I'm tired of running, there's got to be something for this cold, broken down heart. Everyone's looking for someone to blame. They shop in their red.
Gone so wrong. just floating around, no friend to call my own. I gotta do what's right now, people, and leave this place behind. You know I harbor so many things of no consequence to me. Guess I was just another river that flowed into your sea. You know I was just another river that flowed into your sea. Things fall on me sometimes and penetrate my soul. I just keep on drifting. You know I just don't know. I get caught up some places where there's no true home for me. You just try to hold me back, people, I'll find my way out eventually. Cause you know I'm just another river flowing into the sea. Just another river flowing. Falling down. Part of me was lost for a while. I had to go underground. Yeah, I've been down in the bottom where I could hardly see. But I left that place running, and now it's just lost to me. Cause I'm just another river, baby, it's flowing to the sea. Yeah, you know I'm just another river flowing into your sea. Flowing.
Relationships are a fragile thing. Always been a little complicated for me because trust requires allowing others to see as much of our real selves as we have the courage to reveal. But I mean, I don't want to see my real self. Why would others want to? You know. But it means allowing others to see behind our many masks. Masks we wear, overcoming that fear, or rather learning how to love and how to trust in spite of it. It takes a little courage and a very strong partner. Because in this life, you make your choices, you take your stand, and you awaken from that youthful spell of immortality where it feels like the road's going to go on forever. And you walk alongside your chosen partner with the clock ticking. And you recognize that life is finite, that you've got just so much time. And so together, you name the things that will give your life and that time its meaning, its purpose, its fullness, its very reality. And this is what you build together. This is what your love consists of. This is what you, this is your life, you know. And these are things that you can hold on to when the storms come, as they will. I hold you in my arms as a band plays. What are those words whispered, baby, as you turn away? I saw you last night, out on the edge of town. I wanna read your mind, know just what I got in this new thing I found. So tell me what I see when I look in your eyes. Is that you, baby, or just a brilliant disguise? I heard somebody call your name from underneath a willow. I saw something tucked in shame underneath your pillow. Well, I've tried so hard, baby, but I just can't see what a woman like you is doing with me. So tell me who I see when I look in your eyes. Is that you, baby, or just a brilliant disguise? Now look at me, baby, I'm struggling to do everything right, and then it all falls apart. Oh, and out go the lights. I'm just a lonely pilgrim. I walk this world in wealth. I wanna know if it's you I don't trust, 'cause I damn sure don't trust myself. Now you play the loving woman, I'll play the faithful man, but just don't look too close into the palm of my hand. Here we stood at the altar, the gypsy swore our future was right, but come the wee hours, maybe, baby, the gypsy lied. So when you look at me, you better look hard and look twice. Is that me, baby, or just a brilliant disguise? Tonight I bet it's cold, I'm lost in the darkness of our love. God have mercy on the man who doubts what he's sure of.
Song, John Prine. My mother, my old man. child has grown old. Dreams were thunder, lightning was desire. This old house would have burnt down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one.
What I can say to all of you with certainty is this: that you gave me purpose, and you gave me meaning, and you gave me something to believe in again. That is amazing. Because I'm old and I'm cynical, and I have been betrayed so much in this life. I mean, I'm at an age now where I can see the finish line from here. I'm in the backstretch, and I'm headed towards the final two turns. And I did not believe, I did not want to have my heart cracked open again. Not after everything I've been through in the last 7, 8 years, the last 4 or 5, the last couple. I didn't want to believe it could happen. I didn't want it to happen. But you all did that. And because you all saved a life, you were able to make other people's lives better. And you were able to give me enough strength to believe that a lifelong dream of mine, something I could do to give back to people, something I could do to give back to the world, to make a difference, to make it a better place, to finally earn redemption for my life, to finally earn my nickname, the Desolation Angel. You all did that. We are all we have. This life thing is a live together or die alone proposition, and we are all we got. It's not up to politicians. It's not up to leaders, because each of us can be a leader. Each of us can give back, and each of us can extend a hand in the great human chain and save lives and make life better. You gave me that back. You gave me that as something to fight for, instead of the things I've been so angry about for the last couple years. You saved a life. Thank you. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Let me share this special evening with you.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you fighting off a breakdown. I myself am on the brain. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dream. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Uninspired, likely mad as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again. Of the white man's blues, I sang enough about myself. So if you're looking for some bad news, well, you can find it somewhere else. And last year was a son of a bitch, burning everyone we know. But
wake you down in the ditch. I'll meet you up here on the road. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Uninspired, likely mad as hell. But wherever you
somebody said State Street's covered in ashes. I didn't ask for a name, I knew it was you. Bulletproof grin and your false eyelashes. You took a handful of blood and you painted the sidewalk blue. And they said, they said you were out there raising the dead. Looks like you covered up most of your tracks. They're sure they'll find something you left behind. But I know you a little better than that. You don't look back. You don't look back. both know damn well once you start lying to yourself. Funny little thing, never comes around as easy as it goes. We're all right tonight, but it's a long way tonight.